Hello, I'm Bex and welcome to the Week Junior Show. Today I'm joined by three of the team from the Week Junior, the magazine making sense of the world for 8 to 14 year olds. We have Ben.
Hey there.
Eve.
Hello.
And Michael.
Hello.
The new issue of the Week Junior magazine is packed with everything you need to know about the most important and fascinating things happening around the planet and beyond. Inside, you'll find out some good news for goats, why belly boards are being made available for free on UK beaches, and meet a robot that can help people get dressed. If you want to find out more about the Week Junior, ask a grown-up to go to thewikjunior.co.uk/podcast and use the code podcast to sign up for a 6-week free trial. So, on to this week's episode of the Week Junior Show. We'll be finding out about the Prime Minister being punished for attending a party during lockdown, which areas have the most playgrounds for young people, and discover the first confirmed visitor to Earth from another star. Plus, we'll have a debate all about whether Shakespeare should be updated. But before all of that, given that we'll be talking about playgrounds, I want to know, what piece of equipment do you run to first when you first spy a playground? Ben, what are you going for?
It's got to be a slide, but it's got to be a giant bumpy slide. It can't be a little one. It's got to be something that once I'm about halfway down, that I start to regret being on the slide because there are so many bumps and I'm going so fast. And it's only at the end that I think, I got to do that all over again.
Wow, you've really thought that through. Okay, you've perfected the art of the slide. Eve, how about you?
I absolutely love zip wires. My friends and I used to get on the seat of the zip wire and then like pull whoever was sitting on it as far back as we could to, this doesn't sound very safe, to make them, you know, whiz all the way down to the other end. It was really fun, but quite scary.
Also, I've got to say, that's quite a fancy playground if you've got a zip wire in there.
Yeah, I know.
Wow, elite level. Michael, how about you?
I would run to the spring rocker, which I had to Google this, the technical term for what these things are actually called. But basically, that's a thing that's sort of attached to the ground with a spring. And then it's maybe shaped like a horse or a whale or
yes,
some other animal. And you sit on it and you kind of hold onto the handle and you rock yourself back and forth really fast. That was my sort of go-to piece of playground equipment.
Oh, I didn't know that was called a spring rocker. That is a good bit of trivia there, Michael. Thank you for that. This is a tricky one for me because I've had dealings with playgrounds. I have fallen off what I now know to be called a spring rocker. I grazed my face on a slide and when I went down it face first and I broke my arm on a seesaw. So
wow.
I'm gonna have to go swing just because I think they're the safest for me. I think that's the best thing for me.
I judging by how accident prone you are, I would not feel you're safe on a swing. I would feel that you are taking your life in your hands and just never go near a climbing frame, Bex, ever.
Oh, absolutely not. No, even I know that. I steer clear of those immediately. I also want to know what everybody's favourite fact is from this week. So Ben, what have you learned?
We've got a page about the importance of sleep and how to get better sleep. And because of that, I discovered that the idea of people counting sheep to fall asleep at night comes from when shepherds wouldn't be able to go to sleep until they knew their flock was safe for the night. Which makes sense, right?
Yeah, I guess they want to make sure that they're all tucked in and ready to have a little snooze. Eve, how about you?
I found out that used cardboard can be recycled as many as 7 times, which is crazy.
That is quite a lot of times, actually. Think of all of the boxes it could be. 7 times is a lot of times. And Michael, how about you?
Well, this sounds like something that could be a real or rubbish story, but it's not. It's a fact. And that is that a public toilet in Newport in Wales has been turned into a tiny theatre. I don't think the toilets are still in there. I think they've taken them out, replaced it with a stage and some seating. But I just like the idea that somewhere where people used to go and pee and poo is now somewhere where people go to dance and sing.
I'm glad that that appeals to you, Michael. Now, speaking of real or rubbish, come on then, what is this week's story?
Well, Bex, a fisherman has found proof that dragons exist or existed. They have found a baby dragon. So there's this particular fisherman who is famous for sharing photos of strange sea creatures that he finds on his fishing trips. And he has found a baby dragon. It's this pale pink creature. It's got large eyes, a long tail, and what look like wings sticking out from its sides. This image has been put up online. It's got thousands and thousands of likes on Instagram. People are saying, this is it. This is evidence that dragons really exist.
So this dragon, sorry, are you saying it's real and exists, or is it the skeleton of a dragon?
It is the... Ooh, that's a good question. I'm looking at the picture. I'm trying to work out. I mean, it's a pretty. I mean, this picture is pretty freaky. I don't believe it is a living, breathing dragon. It is the remains of a dragon.
Right. Okay. Because I'm in my head, I'm picturing kind of like a dinosaur situation, where it's like we have the bones of dinosaurs that prove dinosaurs existed. So is that what you're saying about dragons?
Essentially, yeah. This is basically we found a baby dragon.
My cross-examination here is going pretty well, I'm not going to lie. finally getting somewhere with this. Right, so it's pale pink, which is weird. You wouldn't know that unless it was alive, unless they've done some kind of CGI on it, I guess, to figure out...
Oh, no, actually, I think it was alive. I'm just looking at the original link now.
I'm suspicious of this one, Michael. I'm not going to lie. I feel like I've sniffed out some problems, some holes in your story. But you know what? I'll have a think about it. We can find out the answer together. If you don't know the answer either, well, don't you worry. Make your guess right now and we can find out at the end of the show. So now it's time for our three most interesting stories from the week. Ben, what have you been finding out about?
Well, I've been looking at playgrounds and I bet everybody listening to this podcast right now knows either their nearest playground or their favourite playground. But what they might not know is how certain areas, there are far fewer playgrounds per person. So there's been a survey by the Association of Play Industries, and they found that not everyone has got easy access to a playground. The average child in Scotland has access to 5 times as many playgrounds as the average child in London. And the worst affected area is the West Midlands in England, where there is only 1 playground for every 929 children. London is the second worst, with 866 children per playground. In Scotland, which, like I say, is doing very well, there are 196 per playground. Wales has 392 children per playground. Now, they've also found 44% less money was spent on playgrounds in 2021 than in 2018, and they want more money to be spent on this because playgrounds are important. You might just think, oh, yeah, they're a place to have fun. But they are really important for health and happiness. The API, they've said that regular visits to playgrounds can reduce childhood obesity, mental health issues, and sleep problems. There was also a survey in 2020, the British Children's Play Survey. And in that, they found that playgrounds are the places where children play the most outside of home. Also pointed out that many children rely on playgrounds to play outdoors in fresh air. 1 in 8 households in the UK does not have access to a garden. If you live in a flat where there is no garden, there's probably a playground nearby, and that is somewhere you will absolutely love. But it might be that it's absolutely packed out because there are not enough playgrounds around, or it might be it's just not that close to you. And playgrounds are places where people can socialise and be a bit more independent. Dr. Helen Dodd, she's a mental health expert and focuses on play. And she said, when children are at school or with their parents, they are being told what they have to do. So play is a time for children to just enjoy themselves, express themselves, and explore in the way they want to. It might sound weird, but play is serious business. It is really important for absolutely everybody. And the amount of money going into playgrounds is bad news for play.
Yeah, I mean, playgrounds are pretty important to just get you outside and get you in some fresh air. So is the government doing anything to help?
Yeah, they've said they're going to give £9 million to fund 100 green spaces for the areas with the least access to playgrounds. And it also said it's going to create a fund of £30 million for 30 parks across the country. So hopefully it will improve. And hopefully everyone listening to this will enjoy their next trip to a playground, because I know I will.
Me too. I'll appreciate it even more now, even if I will probably hurt myself. Eve, how about you? What have you been finding out about?
So on the 12th of April, it was announced that the Prime Minister Boris Johnson and the Chancellor Rishi Sunak have been given fines, which is money paid as punishment for breaking a rule, for a birthday party that was held at Downing Street for Boris Johnson in June 2020, which actually broke COVID restrictions on social gatherings at the time. And so that makes Boris Johnson the first person in British history to be punished for breaking the law while acting as Prime Minister. And so he has paid the £50 fine and he's apologised. And he said that he didn't know that he was breaking the rules at the time. And politicians have actually called on him to step down as Prime Minister because they believe that he wasn't honest about the parties. And the general public feel like he should have been setting an example because the COVID restrictions were the rules that he set at the time. So he should have set an example by following them.
All right. So are there any other parties being investigated?
Yes, the police are actually investigating 12 parties in total, and it's thought that Boris Johnson went to as many as six of them.
Okay, wow. Okay, thank you very much, Eve. And Michael, finally, how about you?
Well, this is a very exciting story because astronomers have confirmed Earth's first known visitor from outside our solar system. Now, it wasn't an alien, it wasn't ET, but rather a half-metre-wide space rock that plunged into the atmosphere at more than 170 times the speed of sound back in January 2014. And this rock actually exploded into tiny fragments high in the air near the island of Papua New Guinea in the Pacific Ocean.
So if it happened in 2014, why are we only finding out about it now?
Well, it stood out at the time to astronomers because the speed and direction of travel wasn't the same as most other space rocks. So two scientists from Harvard University in the US decided to look into it further. But actually, to confirm their suspicions that it had come from outside our solar system, they needed to convince the US government to reveal secret information from one of their spy satellites, because actually lots of meteorites are picked up by satellites run by the US Department of Defense. And so they needed to look at essentially their information to confirm what they thought, which is that it had come from outside our solar system. So it's only now that this information has been revealed to the public, because it essentially come from these secret satellites. And they're hoping that now they might be able to maybe find some of the fragments of space rock on Earth, maybe if they'd landed in the sea and sunk to the ocean floor, so that they can study it and maybe find out even more about space.
Oh, awesome stuff. Thanks, Michael. So as well as reading more about these stories in the Week Junior, you can also read a review of Wished, an imaginative story about what happens when wishes come true. It's written by Lisa Evans, and here she is to tell us a little bit more about herself.
Hello there, listeners of the Week Junior Show. My name is Lisa Evans, author of Wished, which has been selected as Book of the Week in the current issue of the magazine. And I'm here to answer two very important questions. Firstly, do I like Marmite? Well, out of 10, I'd give it about 27.5, I think. So that's a yes. And secondly, what was my favourite book growing up? I'd say anything by Joan Aitken. And if you haven't read any of her books, I'd start with The Wolves of Willoughby Chase.
Okay, so it's on to the big debate. This week, we're asking if Shakespeare should be updated. Quite a big question here. So, Ben, can you tell me a bit more?
Yes, I can. Now, Shakespeare, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say he's a really big deal and a very famous writer. And although he was born more than 450 years ago, his work is still studied in schools today. There are still films being made of his work. He is still pretty much as big as ever. He wrote comedies, tragedies, histories, and poems, and people all over the world absolutely loved them. The plays pack out theatres, and a lot of the stories within those plays are used today. But his time was different. The language, now when you listen to it, it seems very old-fashioned and hard to follow. So some theatres and filmmakers have kind of reimagined his plays to make them clearer for modern audiences, which means they've had to change the text because the way that people speak now is very different to the way that Shakespeare wrote it. So some people are saying, right, okay, we need to do more of this. We need to rework his stories. And some people are saying, no. It was perfect as it was, and that's how it should be enjoyed and studied now. So let's see, should it be updated?
All right, then, this is going to be Michael versus Eve. Guys, as usual, you have 1 minute on the clock. Michael's going to go first. He's saying why Shakespeare should be updated. So, whenever you're ready, take it away.
To update or not to update, that is the question. And the answer is clearly yes. Shakespeare may be the greatest playwright of all time. Amazing, legendary plots and characters. But let's be honest, the dialogue is hard to understand. Sometimes it feels like you need Google Translate to understand what the Shakespeare characters are going on about. And if you go and see a Shakespeare play or watch kind of an adaptation of a Shakespeare play where they haven't updated it, where they haven't modernized the dialogue, it's a bit of a struggle. And if we want people to engage with Shakespeare, to learn about Shakespeare, then you need to make it more accessible and relatable to modern generations, because then that might inspire them to go and read the original text for themselves. But if they just see it without it being updated, they might be put off. And let's be honest, we probably would not be talking about Shakespeare now if it hadn't been updated and modernized over the years to make it relevant for modern audiences. And the final thing I'll say is The Lion King is basically Hamlet. So The Lion King is proof that Shakespeare should be updated. I rest my case.
Yeah, that is a very good point. But maybe Eve has another good point as well. So Eve, whenever you're ready, go for it.
Well, you do make some valid points, Michael. But the thing is that the language used in the Shakespeare plays teaches us where our English language has come from. So there's phrases used in his plays that we use now that he made up. So the green-eyed monster, for example, a phrase that we know means someone who's jealous, is a phrase that he invented for his play Othello. And so this is something that, you know, we're learning about the origins of language by reading or watching his plays. And we can also learn about history of the time through his plays and have a greater understanding of what was happening at the time when he wrote them. And, you know, even though it is old-fashioned, the themes are still relevant today. It talks about love, friendship, jealousy, all of those things that are still relevant to the modern day. And so I think that he's timeless and we should just keep Shakespeare as he is.
Oh, a lovely debate there. That was, you've hit a minute and you're so, like, just gentle when you talk, Eve. It doesn't feel like you're speeding up to the end. Ben, what do you think?
Oh, I am conflicted here because I agree with Eve about kind of his amazing use of language and the things that we use today simply because he invented them. But I think to draw more people in, we do have to update it. And as Michael said, there are stories that are updated without people actually realizing that they're loosely based on a Shakespeare story, and like The Lion King's a perfect example. So I think we do need to do more updates so that people will take more of an interest, and then those people who become interested can then go deeper and look at the original texts, and then they can see how amazing his use of language was.
Well, we will exit pursued by a bear. That is a Shakespeare reference, in case you're wondering, from this debate. But let us know what you think. We need your opinion. Go to theweekjunior.co.uk/polls or email hello@theweekjunior.co.uk with a video clip explaining which side of the debate you support and why. Last week, it was pretty interesting. We asked if it was time to change classic hot cross buns and add different flavours. It was a pretty close vote, but 53% of you seem to like hot cross buns just the way they are.
One Pop Jam user told us, "No way, they are so yummy that my family and I tried to get them all year round. But maybe if we were to change them, then we could keep the original ones, but have the other ones as well so people can choose."
Owen emailed us to say, "I agree and disagree with the fact that hot cross buns should be changed because there's no point having something really tasty that some people can't enjoy if they have an allergy. But if the hot cross bun is changed, then it might not taste as nice as the original and less people may want to eat it."
Some other people felt conflicted too. One Pop Jam user said, "Yes and no. Yes, because brands could bring out more flavours, but no, because the cross represents Jesus."
So remember, this is your chance to get involved. Grab a grown-up, record a video telling us what you think of this week's debate, then send it in to us at hello@theweekjunior.co.uk and we could play it out on next week's show. You will hear your voice on this podcast. So before we go, it's time to reveal our real or rubbish story. Michael, can you remind me about it, please?
Yes, yeah, so this was the story that a fisherman has found a baby dragon in the sea. So just to be clear, if I wasn't fully clear earlier, he pulled out a real live creature. This wasn't the remains or bones or anything. He found a real life creature in the sea with wings and a tail that looks exactly like a baby dragon.
Yeah, it might look like a dragon and it might smell like a dragon and it might breathe fire like a dragon. I don't think it's a dragon, Michael. I think this dragon is not real. I think it's a fish or some kind of creature that just looks a bit fancy. It's maybe got a new t-shirt on. I don't know. So I'm going to say this story is rubbish.
Can I just jump in here, though, Bex, and say...
Sure.
There are dragons already, aren't there?
Are there?
Komodo dragon.
Oh. I thought you were going to say, like, How to Train Your Dragon, and I was going to be, you know, that's a book.
There are dragons. Is this definitely not a dragon?
That's annoying. You're annoying, Ben. No, that's not
I get
helpful.
That a lot.
Although that's a very good point, I'm still going to say it's rubbish. I'm going to say this story doesn't make any sense. I'm going to say it's rubbish.
Drum roll, please. It's rubbish.
Yes!
It is a fancy fish, a fish with a new shirt on, or whatever you said. It's a type of fish known as a ghost shark. So it's not a dragon, but who knows, maybe one day we will find some dragon in the sea or some dragon-adjacent creature, but this is not it.
Excellent. I'm thrilled about that. So before we go, there's just one more thing we need to tell you. Now available is the Week Junior newsletter. It's an info-packed email for the grown-ups who subscribe to the magazine and who want to know the highlights of each issue and behind-the-scenes secrets. If you're a grown-up subscriber, you can sign up right now at theweekjunior.co.uk/newsletter. And that is it for this episode of The Week Junior Show. It's goodbye to Ben.
Bye-bye.
To Eve.
Bye.
And to Michael.
Goodbye.
Drop us a comment on Pop Jam at The Week Junior or email hello@theweekjunior.co.uk. And don't forget to rate, review and subscribe or follow us wherever it is you get your podcasts. Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Week Junior Show, which is made by the same people that make The Week Junior magazine. You can get a free trial of The Week Junior by heading to theweekjunior.co.uk/podcast and using the code PODCAST at checkout.